believe it. You know what I mean? Like see it all the time and believe it. And whatever you got to do to protect that belief, my version of protecting that belief was sharing this.
Yeah,
you know, I wasn't even telling my mom. She knew I rapped.
Yeah,
she knew I did music. And to her,
don't
it was
let
like,
somebody knock you off.
I'm that. Not even going to give my own mother the chance to try to bring me back down to reality. It's not going to happen.
Lead by Example with Bob Myers is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Lead by Example. I'm your host, Bob Myers. Today, J. Cole.
Hey.
Appreciate it.
What's popping, man? How you doing?
So, you and I saw each other. My first time I met you was on the phone.
Yep.
And somebody said, well, you want to talk to you? Yep. And I'm thinking, like, what's this guy going to say?
For sure.
And what struck me a little bit was this guy, he loves basketball. And everybody, a lot of people walk around and say, I love basketball. You actually, you can kind of feel it. Does that ring true to you?
Nah, I love it for sure. Even right now as we speak, like I probably haven't played in a week and a half, maybe going on 2 weeks. And I feel the missing of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel the missing of it. But, you know, I love to watch too. But really,
it's playing.
It's playing, yeah, for sure.
So growing up, you had your mom and your brother, right? And that was it. And you were born in Germany. You were born overseas.
Yeah, I was born in Germany. My mother and my father were together. And then, you know, like relatively early, you know, I don't even think I was one before they like split up.
Yeah.
I was born in Germany. People think I'm German. That's the other thing, though. People think I'm German. The other thing, people think my mom is German. She's not German. Like, I think if you go to, like, Wikipedia or something, you know, I'll meet random people. It's been years, though, by the way. I've never actually had even a moment to say it because it never came up. But it's been years, and somebody would come up to me and be like, bro, my mom's German, too. Or boom, boom. I'm like, bro, my mom's not German. Like, let me get you. My mom's from Michigan.
Yeah.
But she was in the Army. She went to the Army when she was, like, soon as she turned 18, she kind of, like, got out of town, went to the Army. Met my dad in Germany because he's from Arkansas.
Yeah.
So they're just like two kids one from Michigan, one from Arkansas, and they both left like as soon as they could. They got out of their hometowns and like, you know, met each other in Germany, had my older brother, had me, and then shortly after they had me, like within a year, we were back in the States. I feel like as a kid, I was always self-sufficient. I wasn't needy of another person's attention or boom, boom. Now, sometimes I wonder if that's just because, you know, being the second kid and just being a kid to a young mother, you know what I mean? And a young father, and then she would have a boyfriend and this would be a young stepfather eventually. Sometimes I wonder if it's just being a kid of young parents, if you just naturally learn, you know, don't expect, you know, don't
like,
expect
nobody's gonna.
There ain't nobody coming to save you. You know what I mean?
For the most part, you got kids now.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's also a lot of parents won't let that happen to their kid. They don't let their kids grow. They save them all the time. So you kind of have the opposite.
That's real.
You're kind of like
complete opposite. I have a very long leash.
So what about discipline?
Grateful. No, I missed that part. Like the discipline.
You mean you didn't need it? Didn't have it?
No. The discipline that I had. It depends on what type of discipline.
Okay, discipline, like you had to step out of line, like something in your life as a kid. Who grabbed you and said, you can't do that?
Oh, disciplinary action.
What was the dumbest, stupidest thing you did?
I was, when at 6 years old, I was smoking cigarettes regularly around
the
neighborhood.
How does that even happen? Like,
just being around the neighborhood. And like,
so you're six.
I'm six. And the thing was, my brother's 4 years older than me, almost 4 years
older. And he's 10,
me.
He's smoking too?
No, that's the wild thing. It was just, I was always hanging around the older kids in the neighborhood that he was hanging around, and they were smoking. And I was young and fearless and trying to be cool. So it was like, oh, y'all smoking? Like, let me see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And of course, we're all out there kind of like young parents with like long leashes. Not like my mom knew I was doing this.
Yeah.
She was just, my mom comes from a town. First of all, my mom got 10 brothers and sisters.
Okay.
She comes from maybe nine brothers and sisters. She comes from a massive family with a single mother, like type of broken home type of thing where they all raised each other.
Sure.
And she comes from a small town where it was like, yo, you leave your door unlocked. She comes from where you can let your kid, like I was out and she allowed me that, probably like she was, just out there. And I think back then it was a little, probably a little safer to be just out roaming. So while I'm out roaming, of course, my mom has no clue that her 6-year-old son would try to.
If I see a 6-year-old smoking, I'm looking at that kid going, this kid has no shot.
It's crazy.
So nobody said, hey.
No, see, that's the life changing moment. This was literally a life changing moment. I guess it's kind of getting to what you're asking. I literally remember, you know, I'm 6 years old. I'm like, I'm smoking with these kids in the neighborhood that are older than me. And, you know, to them, it's funny. Yeah. You know, they're 10 themselves. Yeah. So it's funny for them to see, like, nobody's really worried about me. Like, hey, don't do that. You know what I mean? They just like, they're 10 and smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, they got their
own. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, they're not. It's not like they're going to say, hey, maybe you should do that. So I'm smoking with these older kids. Boom, boom. This is going on for 2-3 weeks or something. And one day, I'm down the street at a house where it was happening at. And my brother comes up, and I ask one of our homeboys in the neighborhood, I'm like, yo, you got any cigarettes? I'm six, trying to be cool. I'm like, yo, you got any cigarettes? My brother hears this for the first time because he didn't know what was going on. My brother hears it, and he's like, what are you talking about? Like, Jermaine, shut up. Like, he's shut up. That was my brother's energy. Yeah. Shut up. Yeah. Like, Jermaine, shut up. Like, you talking about? I'm like, now I'm like, he don't know. He don't know. I'm like, yo, tell him. Don't I be smoking? Don't I be smoking? Like, proud of it. Like, trying to be cool.
I do this. That's what I do.
And so they confirmed it. It was like, he be smoking. So right away, and looking back in retrospect, I'm so grateful my brother did this. And at the time, I was so, like, I felt like it was treason. But my brother was like, I'm telling mom. And he walked home, and I'm six, of course I'm dumb.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't care. Like at 6 years old, you're going to go and tell mom, and then she's going to ask me, and I'm going to say I don't smoke.
I saw it in my mind.
I'm just going to say I don't smoke.
I'm just going to lie.
So this is how dumb I am. Now the cigarettes are available. I go into the backyard right at this time. And we start smoking a cigarette, and I'm being cool, boom, boom, boom. And so my brother, about, I don't know, 20 minutes later or something, walks to the backyard where we was at. And he was like, Jermaine, he was like, mom wants to see you. I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay, like, all right, so what? So I'm walking home, no fear. I have no, there's no worry. No worry at all.
Nothing's gonna happen.
And I walk in the house, and she's like, Jermaine. I'm like, yeah, mom. And she's like, what's this I hear about you smoking cigarettes? I'm like, huh? I'm like, huh? She's like, come here. And I walk up close to her, and she was like, say something. I was like, what do you mean, say something? And when I said it, she bent down.
Yeah.
And, you know, she smelled this cigarette smoke on my breath. And this was the life-changing moment right here, because I saw her face.
Yeah.
When she smelled, like, cigarettes on my breath, her face was like, it was like heartbroken. Mm. It was disbelief. Yeah. It was like crushed.
Yeah.
I remember the look on her face, and she was like, you have been smoking. Like, it hit her like that. Yeah. Her baby, I'm the youngest of two, that her baby, who's six, A, is capable of smoking cigarettes, and B, capable of lying dead to her face about it.
Yeah.
So it hit her, and I'm pretty sure, and my mom was not the type to give the whoopings that would, like, be relegated to my stepfather down the line, but I think I got one right then and there, because it was just like an emergency situation that I feel like she had to do. But honestly, I don't even remember the whooping, because, matter of fact, I know she gave me a whooping because her boyfriend, who would end up becoming my stepfather, came home, and he usually was like disciplinarian. And he was like, when he told me, he was like, I heard about what happened. He was like, I'm not going to whoop you because I heard your mom already did it. So she must have whooped me. But my point is, I don't remember that part.
Yeah, yeah.
All I remember was her face.
Yeah.
And the reason why I think that was the life-changing moment, to where after that I didn't need much correction, I became a self-corrector, is because that was the first time that I became aware that, like, oh, my actions can hurt someone else. Like, things that I do, my decisions can hurt somebody else. You know what I mean? Not just
me. Well, they say that a kid doesn't even develop that until like 10, 11, 12, like that, to think outside of them.
Right.
So to get that at six, to be like, whoa. Obviously, you were like growing up I mean, that wasn't to figure that out. First of all, to be smoking at six, that's a whole different.
It blows my mind.
I mean, and then to remember, I don't know if your reaction was when you say you moved other people. Was it like I feel bad that I hurt my mom, or was it I really screwed up? I don't know how a 6 year old even does that.
I think it was, you know, this person I really love and care about. I let him down. I lied blatantly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was doing something that
disaster kid.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Then from there you learned that was a moment for you. You remember that.
Obviously, that's a big
30 years later you
that's
got
that's a big yeah, thing in my life. That never went away. Yeah, for
and
sure.
And then your brother had a part, your mom. When I talked to you when we met, I asked you about when you thought you were, I don't know if music came first as a love or basketball. Which one was it? When you realized?
I mean, it depends because like making music, do you mean? Or like versus playing basketball?
I mean, here's the only way I can relate to it because I don't have two things. I don't know if you feel like you have two things. It seems like you do. It seems like you love basketball, obviously. You love music. I don't know if you rank them. I only know when people ask me about basketball, it's when I answer that, I say, it's the only thing I know in life. It's the only thing I know. And I say, when I'm driving my car and I see a basketball hoop or a game of 2-on-2 or 1-on-1 or 3-on-3 or at the park, and I can't not look.
Mm-hmm.
I have to.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't not be around basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only way I know how to describe basketball. But when you say music or basketball, a lot of the players I'm around want to be musicians. A lot of the musicians want to be basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you can equally love those two things the same.
Yeah.
But you're one that I don't know. You tell me.
No, I understand your question. I think my first love, meaning as a kid, 4 or 5 years old, it was music. Before, I loved listening to music, pretending that I'm Bobby Brown or pretending that I'm Michael Jackson. I loved that first and foremost. I remember that. I had the Michael Jackson tape at 4 years old. I had a Bobby Brown tape at 4 years old. I just remember the love of listening to music. Then basketball came years later because just like, yo, everybody around the neighborhood is playing basketball. Of course, you're a kid. Everybody's going to the NBA in their mind. That was me. But I think actual love, that from what you're saying, I'm clarifying it in my mind now. Actual first love, because to me, love is like, it's an action. You know what I mean? Like it's an action word in a sense where it's like it doesn't have to just be an action word, but in the sense of this question, I see it as an action word. So even when I was playing basketball, it was delusion. It was like I thought that I was just like a 6 year old that thinks he's going to the NBA. There's you have Steph Curry that maybe thought he was going to the NBA and had a good reason to think so. Maybe had early skills and early signs.
Well, his
dad played, right? So it's like, like
I can do this.
Yeah, it's not far-fetched. But then you have me at six. Yeah, I'm going to the NBA. It's like you're on no path.
Yeah.
You don't have the early skills or early signs. It's just a delusion. So I think my love for basketball, yes, I love playing. I was highly competitive. But my love was not in the form of work. I didn't have anybody to show me, hey, if you really love this thing and you really want to go do it, here's how you express your love for it. And this is how you get to where you want to go. I didn't have that. I had like, it was really play, you know, it wasn't, love is like hard in a sense, you know, it's like a family, like having kids, having a wife, having a husband.
It's pain.
It's work, it's discipline, it's sacrifice. And the first thing I ever did that for in my life was music.
And did you think that you had a chance in music? Did you know? Because I'm around, you wonder why people, your children, talk to other musicians, their children's are musicians. They believe, there's somebody that showed them this is possible. Mm-hmm. And they're around it. And then they think, well, my dad did it. Mm-hmm. It ain't no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Same as the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of players that's parents played. And once you break through that, I can do this too.
Yeah.
It actually, there's momentum to that.
Yeah.
So your kids, you probably already know this, their chances of being in music are exponentially great.
Yes.
Whether they're talented, just because they know dad does this.
Yep, yep.
So what made you think that music could be that for you? Or did you not think that way?
I did. I had delusion.
Was it really delusion? Because you talk about NBA delusion, you go, that's just a dream every six. But you thought it was the same for
music?
Music
was the same. I'm talking about as soon as I started, as soon as I ever wrote my first rap, I'm the type of person where like...
You mean you had delusion like I can do this in a good way?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm hearing
good,
it like...
Okay, good.
Because you said delusion.
I view delusion in two ways.
Okay.
One, this person has no clue. They're nowhere near what they're talking about.
Okay.
The other delusion that I view is not in a negative.
I got you.
You have to have a delusion.
So was the delusion about basketball...
Yes, my delusion about basketball was well, they were both equal.
I got you.
They were both equal. They were both equally far-fetched, but they were both necessary.
I see.
Unless Steph Curry is not delusion, his father's doing it. But maybe Allen Iverson is delusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Maybe that's delusion.
You don't have the size, you don't have a father who's XYZ. Yep.
So, but regardless, I think that anybody that's shooting for something extremely high, you have to start with a little irrational. Yeah. Because if you were to let logic or rationality,
you wouldn't make it
because
too many
everything,
obstacles.
Yeah, yeah. Too many, the numbers, the odds.
You can't do that.
The odds aren't in your favor. Yeah. But to your question, the delusion about music, I'm honestly that person till this day, and I really appreciate
it's
it about myself.
It's
a strength. When I start something, if I golfed for the first time seriously, like meaning me and my friends really had like a competitive outing. I don't golf, but I like saw improvement in the day, and then in the next day, so my mind instantly goes to. I still have the same delusion from when I was 6 and 12. Yeah. My mind instantly goes to, I wonder how good I could get if I did this every day. But how good could I get? Could I, I shoot for the highest thing that my mind will allow me to, acceptable level of delusion, and then I try to say, well, maybe I'll get to that, you know, and maybe I won't. But I start with a seed of delusion. So basketball was like that. It didn't pan out because, I mean, I never
But when you were 12 or 13 or 14, when you started thinking about life, like they ask kids, what do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Would you have checked... Or would you have thought rationally? Did it start feeling like music is a better path for you, or was it always just like basketball's there?
Man,
because you told me you got cut from your team.
And
that was the moment where it was a shock. It was a shock to you.
Yep.
And then you told me what you did with it.
Yeah, I got cut twice from 9th and 10th grade.
Yeah, and then
it's crazy.
You were just, how does this happen to me? That's what you told me.
My first time.
You were kind of like, this isn't. Yeah. I'm supposed to be.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
I had no organized basketball experience outside of rec. Yeah. I didn't play middle school because my middle school didn't have a team. I went to some little specialized middle school that they tried for the first time. So, yeah, when I got cut my 9th grade year, I'm looking around like, well, how are you going to cut me?
Yeah.
Instead of looking in the mirror, I'm like, bro, you're not even really that good. Like, I started making excuses. Oh, but I'm better than this guy. Yeah. It wasn't until the next year when I got cut again, first time I had to look in the mirror, like, oh, yeah, why did you get cut? Oh, you never worked. You didn't.
That was all anybody? You that figured that out.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a coach where you go, coach, and coach goes, you don't even practice. You don't even play. You don't even try. No. It was you.
Yes, I had to realize. I mean, I had to get punched in the face 2 times. That was what gut. Those were. I love basketball so much, and my delusion was high. So to get cut from the team was a gut punch. You know what I mean? I literally could have cried when I went and looked at the list and my name wasn't on there. It was like, you know. And so the second time, now I'm so grateful that I got punched in the face twice because I was like, well, wait a minute. If I only got punched that one time, and I know some people in my life, they get punched that one time.
And that's it.
They'll never go try out again. Yeah. The pain of that was too much to ever go back.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful that it was like, nah, I'm going to go back. I'm going to try again. Yeah. And I got cut again. And it was the world saying, well, of course you got cut. Like, I had to take a look in the mirror. But to your question, though, I forgot to mention this. Where did the delusion come from?
Yeah.
I think I really believed, you know, when your parents tell you can do anything, you can be anybody. My mom was big on that.
Okay, I got you.
She was big on like filling me with you can do whatever. You know, Jermaine, you
that's
can do whatever you want to
like,
do.
Like that's a big.
Yeah.
A lot of people go the other way with that. That's interesting that your mom, like you remember that part about you can do this. Yep. You can go do this.
Jermaine, you could be. It wasn't even anything specific. Jermaine,
were you like, I know. Whatever. When you heard that, were you like, yeah.
I don't
know. Was it encouraged? Did you need that?
I felt like I knew, but.
But it helps, mom.
But honestly, I mean, I was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old.
Yeah,
I think she was.
Yeah, she was hitting you with
that. She was like implanting that in me. So it was like, but I think the confidence I had was quiet. If you would have asked me when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, what I was going to do, I would have never said out loud, I'm gonna be a rapper. I would have never told you that because I believed it.
Why wouldn't you tell me?
Because I knew that you wouldn't believe, and I didn't want anything that you
had
to say.
Any negative.
I didn't.
Because if you tell me and I go, come on, you're not gonna do that.
Yes.
You didn't want to hear that.
I wouldn't even tell my mom. Like I went to school at St. John's because in my mind, I'm like, at this time, the music industry was way different. And the music industry was in New York. Yeah. That was it. It was budding, starting to bud up.
Is that why you went to St. John's?
That's why I went to St. John's. Because in my mind, it was a quiet play of, I'm doing music at a high level. I know this is what I want to do. I have to be around the music industry. Yeah. Delusion. I thought
you
it was
tell anybody go. That why you chose St.
No,
John's?
That's no. what I'm saying. I never.
Nobody.
Brother? No.
Nobody.
No. It was all inside. I didn't even tell my mom. Like, is she the one that had to pay for the school? You know what I mean? I was just like, I wanted to go to New York, but I never said out loud, Mom, I want to go to New York because I'm going to be right next to the music industry and I'm going to make it happen. I was like, yo, I have to keep all of this.
And then you do that, right? And you're there. And what was the first time you got recognition for what you were doing in a way where you could say, did something happen where your first album or mixtape where then you could say, yeah, this is what I'm doing.
In basketball, I never had any evidence that I was as good as I thought I did.
Okay.
Never. Yeah. Like I could, against average guys, I could dominate. Yeah. But there was never a time where I went against the best player on the high school team.
Where you could really see it.
In music or in rapping at 13, 14, 15, 16, in my whole teenage years, I got that validation constantly because I would always go up because there's a rap scene in Fayetteville where I'm from.
Yeah.
Lots of kids my age rapping all over the city, kids older than me rapping. Yeah. In every situation around the city where there was a cypher is a bunch of dudes in a circle taking turns rapping, right? Somebody might be beatboxing or maybe there's no beat and everybody takes turns rapping. Every one of those moments I got in, which was frequent, maybe at least one night a week, sometimes two nights a week in different little locations. Maybe it's at the movies. Maybe it's at the high school game. Maybe it's in the hallway of the high school gym. Maybe it's at the skating rink.
Yeah.
Every time one of them situations popped up and I stepped in, it was complete validation because the reaction was insane. Yeah. You know, it was probably what the top guys in basketball would feel when they're on their game.
So you knew, you got that.
But I knew I had something.
I like how you were you use the word delusional mm-hmm. in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So that made you what you are, mm-hmm. right? That belief.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're getting it in music, in the ciphers and where you are. And basketball, you're kind of like, well, that'll come later. Or you kind of know at that time.
I think around, first of all, I get cut once. Yeah, right. I get cut twice. I know I'm not that guy.
Yeah, okay, I got you.
There's no part of me thinking I'm still that guy. Yeah. No, now I recognize the mountain that I got to climb.
Yeah, I got you.
My delusion, it was more realistic at this point. It was, do I want to climb this mountain? As a kid that just got cut two times from the team and had to work, by the time I was a senior, I was starting, had to work my way up to there. Do I want to continue the climb to be a college walk-on, to go from a college? I saw my future. Like, yo, like if I work hard enough, because now I understand in basketball, I understand the power of hard work. If I work hard enough, I could walk onto a team. I believe in my ability to at least walk onto a team. But then if I work hard enough, could I get some consistent playing time by the time I'm a senior? If I do that, could I then go overseas, keep working, and be one of these, like, I remember Jamario Moon's name at the time. I always, loved his story. Came out of nowhere, played in mad leagues. Yeah, but you could tell, to have that level of determination, it's like Gary Payton II. You just have a level of determination, and I saw that for myself, possibly in basketball. Sure. But then I saw in music, it was I couldn't do both. Right. So at some point, it was like, exactly.
More Lead by Example after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
And we're back.
When was the moment where you said, this is going to be my life? This is my career. I can do this, and it you just knew that, or did you always?
I was no other option. That was going to happen.
Was there anybody that you respected when they said to you, "Hey, you're great at this"? Like, was there one moment where somebody, some kind of like reaction to what you did, some person coming up to you?
Oh, lots of those. When I was, you know, all of those moments I told you about in the ciphers, mm-hmm. when I would just, you know, say a line and the whole cipher would disperse. Like, it's like a movie moment, like 8 Mile or something. Oh, yeah. Those were validation moments. There was a group in Fayetteville called Bomb Shelter that when I was 14, 15, I linked up with because I was like, yo, they're from my city. They do professional sound and music, and they were amazing to me. So the first time I went over there and recorded a song and I saw everybody's reaction to the song that I recorded, yeah. it was more validation. When I played this song for my friends, you know what I mean? And I got the reaction from them, more validation.
When did it become this mute? Like, I got to, there's the part where you just love doing what you're doing. And then you realize, who am I going to be in this business? Like, what do I want to be? How do I stay true to what you do? Because I'm sure a lot of people are telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it seems to me, I know you not super well, but a little bit, you're kind of like, you're pretty strong about this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I can hear what you have to say, but I'm going this way. Mm-hmm. And that seems not that hard for you, but mm-hmm. I don't want to diminish all the pulling that you have.
No, that's
you got to do this, you got to do that. It seems to me you're pretty centered and peaceful in what you choose, mm-hmm. but there's got to be pressure in that, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Mm-hmm. And then you get more successful, and then more people are telling you how to live, mm-hmm. how to be. How do you kind of stay with you?
I mean, I had to learn that lesson, obviously, through the years. I was very confident in the beginning and very, like, sure of myself and sure of, like, the things that me and my team are excited about. I got a partner, Eve. You met Eve. And we've been rocking like this from very early on. So I was very confident in that in the beginning. And then, you know, you get a few projects in or out, you know, the pressure starts to build. It's not going exactly how you wanted it to go. And then the pressure hits, you know, like when the pressure hits, that's.
Do you remember when that happened?
Oh,
was
yeah,
there
yeah.
like a moment? Or
yeah.
was it just,
yeah. I mean, yeah, it was over a number of years.
Yeah.
It took me a while to even recognize it. Yeah.
But it was
I was always feeling it, but it took me a while to recognize that, oh wait, this has been here for a few years. You know what I mean? This thing. But once I felt that, this was like maybe two albums in. Once I felt that, the minute I recognized that this feeling, this pressure had been causing me to move a certain way and make certain decisions, once I became fully aware of it and like had that honest conversation with myself, now became like the remedy steps, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, what do you do about this? How do you fix this? And that answers your question about, that's when I began to move more true to get back in tune with what's true to me.
What was pushing you? Did you feel like you were getting pushed outside? Like, you gotta do something different. You gotta play different music. You gotta change your image. What was pushing you away from what felt authentic to you?
Yeah, I think
was it you got to make more albums? I don't know.
No, it's hard to explain but at that time and probably still, rap music specifically, very nuanced and opinionated game. It's not like basketball where it's like, yo, like if you won, you won. We know who won the championship last year.
Yeah,
you know, there's no opinion about who won the championship last year. Like, nah, like y'all got that.
Mm-hmm.
Basketball is not like that. Music is not like that. Music is almost like, at least at that time, music is music. But the sport of rap, the sport of rap is more like if to win the championship, you had to get all this panel of journalists and fans to vote, a mixture of MVP voting and All-Star voting combined determines who's gonna have the crown. And that was always important to me as a kid rapping. It wasn't just, oh, I want to make it as a rapper. No, I'm competitive. I want to be hands down known as nobody's coming close. You know what I mean? And I think it's the same honestly with a lot of basketball players who strive for that top tier. The absence, when you're not getting that universal praise of you know, I'm hands down the best, I think it could cause some tension. And
you had to let go of that?
Huh? Oh, yeah. I had to let go of that.
So did you think you deserved it?
Do I think I deserve it then?
When you were in that moment, you were like, why aren't they?
Of course.
Okay.
Similar to the kid that got.
But do you think, so you're sitting there going, why is it not coming? And then you realized, I can't wait. I can't do it for that.
Yeah. And actually.
Because you realize that's not what it's about.
And it actually never was. Yes, I was competitive. And yes, I always wanted to be in the cypher or amongst any rappers that I knew or any rappers that you heard. Yes, I wanted to be the best. The same way when I step on a basketball court, even back then, the best guy on the other team, I want to guard him. I want him to guard me. Yeah. I want to quietly, quietly destroy him. That was my mission. It was similar in rap. So although that was a part of it, the dominant thing of why I did music was because it was a love and a passion. Yeah. And it was the first thing in my life that I could sit down for hours and hours and hours and just stay on this journey until I'm done writing this song and I could sit and record for hours, just done from love. So I think at a certain point, the desire for that started to overcome.
The process started getting lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that person, the thing you wanted, that number one, what does that rapper get? What do you get?
First of all, it doesn't exist. It's never existed. But you know what it was back then? It was the critical. I had what I had was almost to the point where I wasn't even appreciating it because I was so worried about the thing that I didn't have. But what I had was like this love from people and everyday people that live in their life to this music, you know what I mean? And like really like, oh, bro, this got me through such and such. They're really resonating with what I'm saying. But there was not from a critical standpoint, the journalist, a certain type of journalist too, honestly. I realized it was like, it's a certain segment that it was just like, oh man, they're not even.
And that's what you were.
Oh, I mean, it was just crazy. It's just one of the things that wasn't there.
Sure.
So I never grew up like, I want you guys to love me. But in the midst of the game, when it wasn't there, it was like, wait, why is that not over there? And then you start focusing on, like you start looking more at least I did, start looking more at like the lack more than the surplus.
Yes, you know what I mean? Don't have.
Yes, and that was a big part of what I didn't have was like that side of things. As well as there was other, it wasn't like unanimous amongst the people, but that was the stuff that really like got to me. Like I remember really being like, you know, why? Why am I not on that list right there? Like it's like they only put one of those songs over there, but this song is better than that song. And it's only number 31. And they're trying to say that these songs are better than that. There was like, and mind you, this wasn't stuff I was saying out loud.
These were internal
conversations that were like
damaging
me. You know what I mean? It took me a while to like catch myself.
Did the what did the Grammy do for you and what did it not do?
Oh,
because I only understand it from winning a championship. That's me.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody said, what does winning a championship mean? I'll tell you what it means and I'll tell you what it doesn't mean.
Mm-hmm.
So for a Grammy for you.
Nowhere.
What do you mean nowhere? What is it? What do you mean?
Nah, like I used to have a Grammy, like, you know how you put a screensaver on your computer in the days or your background.
You had a picture?
Oh, it was so important to me. Like, so had I won it early on, I think it would have validated all of those feelings I had for it of like, oh man, and maybe it would have felt like a championship at that point. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The fact that it didn't happen, and then it didn't happen, and then it didn't happen, it allowed me to even reflect now and be like, wait a minute. Like, first there was the same feeling of like, wait, why they not rocking with me? Boom, boom, boom. And then after time and like, you know, more time I spent with myself, it becomes clear that it's like, oh, wait a minute. Like, you know, those things weren't for you, you know? And then when it actually came, it was like, it was almost like I'm not in love with this thing anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so it couldn't feel like a champ. And not to mention, bro, I won a Grammy with somebody else.
Yeah.
It ain't even like it was me as a feature on somebody's song. It ain't for nothing I did, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My Grammy, but to your, I think this will answer your question a little better. Like, that's nowhere close to a championship to me, the Grammy, but there was an album that felt like a championship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was the releasing of an album.
Yeah.
There was the making of this album I got called Forest Hills Drive.
Yeah.
And the releasing of it
that was the tour.
That was a championship run in the way that, like, you know, I would look at how the Bulls, look at, you know, the Last Dance, or how you guys look at one of you guys' championship. Like, that was the feeling. So, and then guess what? That album didn't win a Grammy. And it's like, it meant nothing. Like, a Grammy didn't increase my enjoyment or decrease my enjoyment. If that album would have won a Grammy, it wouldn't have added. You know what I mean? It wouldn't have changed my experience. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fact that it didn't win didn't change my experience. It was like that. That was what a championship felt like to me.
Yeah, it's interesting because when we, in 2015, we won, and it was overwhelming. And then in 2016. We had the best record ever. Beat the Bulls, 73-9
Mm-hmm.
And we lost. That was the year we were down 3-1 Sure. We lost to LeBron. And most people would say, pretty cavalierly, that that record doesn't matter. You guys didn't win the championship. And I heard that a lot. You guys blew it. And then I realized, for me, I said, I get to decide what that 73-9 means
for me.
You know, I get to do that. You don't get to do that.
Yep.
Just like you don't get to decide. I don't decide what a Grammy means for you.
Yeah.
I don't decide. You don't decide what a championship means for me or that record or whatever it is. But you're much more, I can't imagine being you in a world as known as you are, where people are telling you how to feel. How do you choose, like, who gets in your life? Because I can imagine being, I would be kind of closed. I would be almost unhealthy. I don't want to hear what anybody has to say.
Mm-hmm.
But you're 6 years old going, like, I got this. It almost strikes me as you're the type of guy that, who do you ask for help for? Who helps you?
I got close friends.
People that are like, hey.
Yes, I got close friends and family in my quarter that I could talk to. If I ever need to, you know, they're there. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I feel blessed and lucky to be like this, but I'm a self-soother in a way that's dangerous or in a way that's like, no, like I've from a very young age, I've become very good at problem solving, self-correcting, self-reflecting, self-adjusting, letting things go, you know, recognizing if I'm not letting something go, doing the proper work to let it go. So I'm not often overwhelmed. Like the day, those years that I told you about, yeah, that was overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I handled that dolo. There's things that I talk about that part of my life now with people that are close to me that were around back then. And it's like, oh yeah, I didn't even know that was happening to you. You know, like that's their reaction to me. So yes, I have people, if I need people, I have people that I can go to. But I honestly prefer even to do that on my own.
How personal? People say one of the healthiest things any of us can do is journal. In your music, do you feel like you're journaling? Like how personal? What song that you wrote or lyrics was the most raw, was the most like, this is me?
Oh man, it's too much. It's too many.
There's a lot of them, right?
No, it's so many.
Because I think that's kind of healthy.
Yeah.
You're making
a great point. Yes, you're making a great point. And for me, in the beginning,
because it's especially, kinda,
that was it. That was my way of venting, saying, that was my way of communication even was, and that back then it was much easier because nobody was listening. You know what I mean? Now it's like, actually, if I write it even, it's like, I don't know if I even want y'all to hear
that. People hear, I got you.
But it's still the same therapeutic process of like getting it off. And that helps. But more so than that, honestly, man, it's like honest conversations with myself. You know what I mean? Like that is more healthy even for me than journaling. Like checking in with myself. How you feeling? Ooh, what's going on? You feeling a little different? Okay, what is that? Oh, what can you do about that? Well, oh, maybe we should, you know,
mm-hmm.
do a little meditation, maybe we should just look at it a different way. Maybe you should just let that go. Like, and even how I'm saying it, I don't even think there's words. You know, it's just a feeling.
Well, it's interesting because like we talked, I saw you in New York and I asked you about what you were doing and you were telling me you hadn't, there was a certain place where you could write.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we were talking about where you could write music.
Yep.
And you hadn't been in that environment in a while. And
then
you were like, I forgot this is a place I write.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me. you to do what you do, you have to be really in touch with yourself, right? Because you can't fake. I'm not handing you lyrics.
Yeah.
And you're just singing them.
Yeah.
There's a difference between writing a book and reading a book.
Yeah.
And you're doing both, and you're sending it out to the world. So I guess what's interesting, I hear what you're saying, and I'm like, wow, how does somebody take all that in by themselves? But then you have to be in touch with you to write.
There you go.
Right?
Yes. I spend a lot of time by myself. Like, I spend a lot of time with myself. Not by myself, because I'm constantly surrounded by family, but when it's work time.
Because nobody can help you do.
There you go. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that can at least get it out the way that's pure. I could always...
Yeah.
Maybe there's a time in my life in the future where it's like I'm more collaborative. I'm not even working on my things. Boom, boom, boom. I actually love when like producing for other people, like and being able to having it not be about me. But as long as it's my thing, yeah, I got to spend a lot of time with myself and in my thoughts. And that's always been me. There was only that few year period I had in my life where that was like unhealthy because my thoughts were spiraling. And I didn't quite yet at that age have the awareness to know where how low they had gotten, and then B, I didn't have the tools yet to self-correct. Now, in my older age and maturity, it's like, oh wait, I'm way more aware when something's going on, if something's going on, and then have way more tools on deck for myself to like self-correct.
More Lead by Example after this.
Caesars Sportsbook, it's not just an app, it's a whole empire. Iconic casinos, hotels, world-class restaurants, it's all yours with Caesars Rewards. Because every bet you place, win or lose, earns reward credits, which you can redeem for hotel stays at over 50 destinations, meals, tickets, merch, bonuses, and more. Get started today. Create an account with promo code OMAHA FULL. 21 and over, 19 and over in Ontario. Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or in Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino. Call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STON. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier County, and Harris, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW YORK or text HOPE-NEW YORK 467-369.
And we're back.
As far as being a leader in do you think yourself or in your industry, Do you even talk about it like that way?
No.
You don't?
I don't look at myself like that because it's like,
you don't even.
I just don't even
think like that.
Yeah, it never even enters my mind. But when you say that, I'm sure there's someone out there who's like, you know, who's in the same way that I did, looked at people that I don't actually know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a North Star and guiding light to get to where I want to be. You know what I mean? And yes, I had those along the way. I had. When I was a kid, I was Tupac'd out, Nas'd out, and Jay-Z, Kanye, Lil Wayne, Andre 3000. So, you know, I have these life-changing people who in some way, shape, or form, I was looking at as for guidance, whether it be creatively, musically, or like just how I thought they were living their life.
Yeah.
But the truth is, even the kid that out there that like, you know, maybe views me as a leader, he doesn't really know how I'm living day to day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he just has to fill in the blanks.
What would you say, let's say, this doesn't happen in your, sometimes I teach or they ask me to come speak to students. It's different in your industry. I'm sure you've spoke to people.
Mm-hmm.
What if it was sitting out there with kids from 12 to 18 or 10 and they're all from all over the US or anywhere and they're like, hey, tell me what to do. Tell me how to get to where you are.
I think there's two key ingredients, maybe three, but one is see yourself as high as you possibly could see yourself, right? So if someone wants to like be in the NBA, like they want to be an NBA player, to me that's not enough.
Yeah.
There's a wide range of NBA players.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's an NBA player that never saw the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, he sat at the end of the bench his whole career, and they never re-upped his contract, and then he had to go fight in the G League, and boom, boom, boom. He was in the NBA.
Yeah.
LeBron James is in the NBA.
Yeah.
Who do you see yourself as? And there's no right or wrong answer. Yeah. Clarify and define your vision for yourself in the highest possible way that you could see it. Do you want to be a 12-time All-Star?
Yeah.
Do you want to be a league MVP? Do you want to be, you know, you want to set the three-point shooting record? Be as specific and see yourself as high as you possibly can, right? That's your first job, is to see it as high as you can see it. Be delusional even to the point where to where your mind, the right at the apex of what your mind believes is possible, maybe push past that even a little bit and define it. And then number two is like, believe it. You know what I mean? Like see it all the time and believe it. And whatever you got to do to protect that belief, my version of protecting that belief was I wasn't sharing this.
Yeah,
you know, I wasn't even telling my mom. She knew I rap.
Yeah,
she knew I did music. And to her, it was like,
don't let somebody knock you off.
I'm not even going to give my own mother the chance to try to bring me back down to reality. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not going to happen. So number one, dream as high as you possibly can. See yourself. Not even dream. See yourself as high as you possibly can. Define that. Don't just say, I want to do such and such. Because if you mess around and get such and such, you're going to be mad that you didn't think about higher. There's a lot of people that do that. They're like, man,
why didn't I think
about being this instead of just this? Yeah. Because at the time, you thought just this was it. But do the thought work and see where you really want to be. Two, believe that it's possible and protect that belief. And then three is work towards it. You have to do the work. And because you love it, it's not always going to feel like work, but sometimes it is. I'm sure there's times where Steph is in the gym or like waking up and it's like, I don't really actually want to go strength train, or I really don't really want to go put these shots up. I'd rather chill with the family, but I'm going to go do it because I know my ultimate goal is championship. My ultimate goal is X, Y, and Z. So he goes and does it. And then within the work, he probably finds joy when he's there. I'm assuming. Never had this conversation with him. But I'm assuming while he's putting up his shots, while he's working on his moves, while he's doing strength, he finds the enjoyment and the presence in it. But it still worked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it still worked. So those are like the three things that I would tell anybody, whether they're 10 years old or 30 years old, you have to see yourself in the highest, and the world will fill in the rest. You know what I mean?
Like, the last thing you said is about loving the process.
For sure.
Right? Because if you don't love the process, like, you're right. If you every time you had to perform or write, you're like, you wouldn't be great. But if you get excited doing it and you look up and you go, man, I've been doing this 3 hours. It feels like 10 minutes.
Yes.
That's the greatest of the guys. Because there's talent, right? In your music, you won't say who it is, but you go, that dude's talented. He doesn't work. Or she's great.
Right.
Or that person's not that talented, but they work.
Yeah.
Now you get both. You get where you want it. That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
You get talent and heart and love in the process and doing it for the reasons that you started doing it for, which were because you love it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can push back on the fame and the money and the noise and go, no, I'm going to keep doing this for the reason I started doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you like it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's hard, especially with, like, in our business, you know, guys get guaranteed money.
Yes.
You can score 2 points tonight. You can score 50.
Yes.
And you get paid the same amount.
Yes.
So
complacency is
different.
It's hard
different.
It's hard to not get complacent.
Yeah.
Like, actually, no. Yeah. I guess you could say it's hard, but you have to work. You have to do the work to find new ways to fall in love with it. And yes, there's many ways to fall out of love with it. Right?
Yeah.
Time, money, success, bitterness. Things didn't go the way you wanted to go. There's many ways to, like, reasons to retract.
Yeah.
But if it's a high goal, you set the highest goal. I think that's the problem. Like, you know,
I think they're afraid. I think a lot of people are afraid. You don't seem like you were. To set that goal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You understand? No.
There you go. I know what you're saying. Yes.
I was afraid.
Yeah,
if you had told me I want to be GM, and I met you and we were talking and you said, hey, why don't you try to win 4 championships? I would have told you, like, come on, don't put that on me. Don't say that.
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, I just want to try and do it the right. You know, yes. I'm not you.
Yeah.
That's pretty unique to think it and then believe. But even when you're saying it, you can feel that that's true to you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm envious of that.
Mm.
I'm kind of like, I wish I thought that way.
Man, you know what I'm envious of too, to that point, is because I also think that, like, the way that I said is valid for someone that wants to live that life. But I also think another valid way to live is, yo, I'm envious of people who don't have strong desire or strong vision and don't have something. They live a peaceful life and an enjoyable life. And it's like, yo, I go to work.
Yeah.
I like my job.
Yeah.
I like my salary. I'm not
trying
stupid rich, but I love my family. I come home. Yeah. Life is amazing. Simple. And they live their life like that. And I think that that is just as valid.
Yeah.
I think that equally valid. And I don't think, you know, I don't think anyone should feel, because I've come across people who maybe, because we live in a very like, we live in a society and a culture that pushes, it's like a hustle culture.
Never enough.
And work hard, boom, boom, boom. And I think people,
to what cost?
I think people could feel almost guilty or like insufficient for not having some great dream to dream. And I'm like, no,
it's, okay.
It's a blessing to be satisfied, to be at peace, to be, to be content with life. You know what I mean? Like, I have this job. I have this family.
Yeah.
I have
this. I listen to music, but I don't need to be.
Yeah, I don't need to be that guy. Yeah. I'm cool with this. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that I'm envious
of that. It's interesting you would say that, because you live and you've met the people you've met. You've met people that are supposed to be the best people, right? And then you realize this person is not great. They're just rich or they're just famous. And then you see that family you're talking about, that hypothetical guy or husband or wife has a job and they come home and they're happy, and you look at it like, that's not better than that,
right?
But our society doesn't work that way. You understand, like, we're fighting because when you're on Instagram or Twitter, that person's life is perfect,
right?
And you go, no, I know that person.
Yeah,
that life is not.
Yeah,
you don't want to be around that person.
Yeah,
that's, you know, fact. But that's when you I think I would love everybody to meet all these people. You go, okay, you met them, now what? Well, I don't really want to hang out with them. They weren't very nice.
Yeah.
And then you go, there's a nice family over here. What's wrong with that?
Sure.
Not famous.
Yes.
You know, so last question. What do you hope? I ask a lot of people this one, like with your children, like if you could wish a life for them. Because I tell people, I'll help you as you think. A lot of people, you see these parents at a sporting event with their children, and they're going crazy. You're going to see. I kind of look at the parents like, "What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And then their kid's the best kid, or their kid's not playing enough, or something's not fair. And I look at them, I go, "What do you hope happens? Like, what are you hoping for here?" I hope my kid gets a scholarship. Okay. Okay. So, but you've been traveling around the world. You're gone every weekend. You know, your other kids are here. This kid's better than them, so you're with him all the time, or her. So they get a scholarship. Then what? Well, then I'm off to pay for college. Okay. So what happens to the kid? That I hope. Then what do you hope happens after the scholarship?
Mm.
Well, that they're the best player on the team. Okay. So what does that mean? So then we'll go to the games. I'm like, okay. You're gonna move to the college. You're gonna go to all their games. Then what? Well, I want them to go pro. Okay. What do you think that is? Well, then be rich. Okay. So there's a lot of different levels of being a professional athlete.
Yeah,
like, what if you want him to play? Oh, I want him to be the MVP. Okay, do you know what comes with that? Do you know how hard, like, do you know what that is? Do you know what kind of life that is?
Sheesh.
So you tell these people, I'm like, I've seen this path.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, what about, like, I just want my kid to be decent kid or husband or father, you know?
For sure.
But they may not be you. You know, I don't know what you even want for them. I don't even know.
No, like,
I don't know.
Honestly, I don't even think about those things. Like, of course, there's curiosity.
Yeah,
There's curiosity where's
about it gonna go?
What will become, what will the interest be. But there's no wish or hope in terms of what it is. It's more
what
curiosity
about
what. I think my wish and my hope is more like, I just want you to cut down the time that it took me to the thing that I learned at 30.
Yeah,
I hope you can learn at 15 or 16.
Yeah.
I just want you to be able to cut down on. I want you to be able to learn the lessons that can lead you to peace quicker.
Sure.
Because I know what life is like trying. I know what life is like, and when I say trying in this context in a bad way, I know what life is like to not be living in your peace and your comfort and your confidence. And I know what life is like to be living in your confidence. And you know what I mean? So it's like the time that it took me to get there on a more permanent basis, I flirted with it in my in my childhood and in my teens and in my 20s, but was never solidified in it. You know what I mean? It was always attaching it to something. Yeah, yeah. But I think that I just hope, that's what I hope for them is like, yo, whatever comes after that is it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? As long as you feel at peace and comfortable and you know, and that's really it. Like that would be the biggest blessing. Everything after that is a bonus. Once you just enjoy life on a content level, it's a bonus. Yeah. It's the difference between a person that needs this, and I was probably that. I wanted this. I had this desire and this goal.
But there's a weight with that, right? There's a weight.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then the absence of that is hurting. Yeah. And I feel like true peace is I can have this desire, but the absence of that desire is not. You know, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
We passed that little cupcake spot that I go to on the way here. Yeah. Like, I love this spot.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, I have a desire for this cupcake. If I don't get it today, it's cool. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, maybe I'll get it another time. But the absence of that isn't pulling at me. But I think a lot of us, we have this high thing that we think the peace will come.
Well, that's for me. Like, and I'll finish, you know, that's why I asked about the Grammy. Some people think the Ferrari, the mansion, the Grammy, the NBA champ, they think that does it. There's this like mythical, once I get $1 million, once I get a platinum record, and I tell people like, I hope you get it so you can see.
Woo.
Because if you never get it, you always think it's the answer.
Yes, man.
And then you miss all the other answers. Man, but I go, I hope whatever, if you go, I got to do this. If you were 20 years old, I'm like, what do you want? I got to get a Grammy. I'm like, I hope you get that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be like, why? I go, because you're going to realize that's one small part of this whole. Man. And I would say the sooner you figure it out, like you said about your kids, the sooner you get that Grammy, you're going to realize you get it when you're 70, you're going to have wasted a lot of time thinking that was the thing.
Yes, man.
But
that's a bar.
Yeah.
I relate to that for sure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Thanks for coming. Yeah.